Mayette is here, who moved here. He was a Mormon when he moved here.
Mormon. I'm using air quotes when I say Mormon because I'm about as Mormon as Richard Simmons is straight. Okay, like.
Please tell the story you just told me about your bed to our studio audience.
Our audience of what, like 3 people? It'll be like your mother and. No, okay, so I this is so sad. Like, I've always, like, thought, like, if I'm ever in a relationship, I gotta get used to sleeping on one side of the bed. So I've trained myself to sleep on, like, the right side of the bed for, like, the last, like, 10 years of my life, and there's nobody else on the other side. So I just kind of lie there and have this whole empty space. But, you know, I only have to make half my bed, so that's the good part of it.
And the bed is sunk a little bit.
It kind of is, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So much like my self-esteem.
Okay, so what is your date? Do you remember your date you moved to New York City?
I moved to New York September 23rd, 2003.
Okay, you do remember your date.
Yeah, it's my 10-year anniversary next month.
Yep, this might air in September, so
your
anniversary is now.
Oh, great.
Today.
Happy anniversary. Yeah. God, never thought I'd hear that.
And what mode of transportation did you use and where did you come from?
I moved here from Las Vegas, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I flew here. I had the worst flight of my entire life because I remember my friends had thrown me a going away party the night before, and I was up all night crying and packing.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
I was so sad to, like, leave everybody. And I looked like complete shit when I got to the airport, and like on the airplane I was hysterically crying like all the way there, and like all I wanted to do was get like an aspirin or something from the stewardess, and she wouldn't even give me. I didn't even like call her stewardess. I called her flight attendant, but she was such a bitch. I called her stewardess after the fact.
Oh my god.
And she wouldn't even give me like an aspirin or a Tylenol or anything, so I just kind of sat there like looking like somebody just beat the crap out of me. So
so I mean, no one's forcing you to move to New York, so you're crying your way through the night, you're crying away on the plane. Why are you moving?
I was living in Las Vegas. I didn't really like it. Like, all my friends there. Well, I had
were
a good time
gigolo?
There, but yeah, I was a gigolo. I did. I got tired of being I got tired of doing meth. I was losing some teeth, so I thought I'd move on to bigger opportunities. No, I just didn't like Las Vegas. Like, I don't know. Like,
is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So, but I went to college in Las Vegas. If you can imagine, like, that's wow. I don't. People always like are amazed by that. The fact that I went to college in Las Vegas.
Blackjack
school? DUI school, actually. That's what I did. You always have a common bond with somebody in Las Vegas. I always say, you know, oh, like, where'd you go to school? Great. Where'd you get your first DUI? Tropicana and what? You know, like. I went to college there and it was fun, but I just kind of got bored afterwards. And I moved here like a year and a half after I came out of the closet. So, and I figured it wasn't really a good gay scene in Las Vegas. So I basically moved here to get laid is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I was trying to figure out why, if you're crying your whole way. Did you have a job?
I did. I worked at a bank.
So you got a job before you got here?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
I actually, I came out here to visit a friend of mine, and I was like floating around my resume at some places, and actually just like walked into, I snuck in to a human resource department of a bank. I found out where it was, and said, hey, I'd like to interview, like submit myself for something, and they actually liked my tenacity is what they said.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, that works. So now that bank is actually no longer exists and went out of business.
What
so,
bank?
It was Washington Mutual Bank.
Did you have a place to live?
I didn't, no.
Okay, because you had one out of two, because usually people move here either with a place to live or a job, or neither, but usually not both.
Yeah, no, I actually was living on, this is a funny story, for the first 3 weeks of me in
New
York.
No, I want to know the first night.
What the first night, okay, I came here and I was staying, first of all, they lost my luggage. I got here on a Saturday night, they lost my luggage and I didn't get it until
Monday.
How
old were you? Can you say that? Do you say your age in entertainment?
Oh, God, I hate this number. I was 25
okay.
when I moved here, so that's a nice age, you know, I was still kind of, you know, still had my youth intact. But they lost my luggage. I didn't have any clothes when I got here. I just had like what was in my carry-on with me, and they didn't give me my luggage until that following Monday. So I
so
had
you got here on a what?
On a Saturday. So I had to go buy like a whole new suit and everything to go to work. So that was kind of a nightmare. But
you went to work Monday, mm-hmm. the day after you arrived.
Well, I got there on Saturday night.
Oh, that you're not giving yourself. You gave yourself a day.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not. Like, I got in at 9 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, I was at a bar in the East Village. So,
so you really did come here to get laid. Like,
I did. You know, like, I was not going to waste any time. So
you got all the crying out of the way on the plane and packing.
I did. And I was staying with my friend Jason, actually. I was living on the floor. He lived in a loft in Chelsea that
nice.
Was, it was in a building that we used to call the Korean Consulate because it was owned by the Korean American Association. And every on his floor that he lived in, like it was the most odd thing. First of all, it was the biggest piece of shit apartment I've ever like seen in my life. You needed 10 keys to get into the apartment, and you couldn't like buzz anybody in. You had to like throw down the keys and have them come up to
God.
It.
Wait, that's how I live now, but that's okay.
But, okay, so, first of all, the bathroom looked like they were testing nuclear missiles in there. I kid you not, there were paper clips holding the shower, like...
What?
The shower door shut. Like, it was...
How much was it a month? Absolutely.
His portion at the time, I think, was $1,000 a month. But
how many people lived there?
There were four separate rooms. And this was the motliest crew of people. There was the guy who was, like, in charge of the loft. It was basically a loft space divided into four rooms. The guy who was in charge of the loft was a Korean man named Hung Mo.
Oh, my God.
There was a lesbian. Like, she used to have, like, poetry slams in, like, the common room. And we
in your apartment?
Yeah.
How many people would come?
I don't... There was, like, six people in there at one time. Like, I don't even know, like, what her name was. We used to call her the bitch goddess. That's all we called her. And she stuffed nine tampons in the toilet once, and it overflowed. It was really... She used to steal my Swiffers. It was very weird.
Oh, my God.
And then the other roommate was... a German anorexic woman who we found out later was a dominatrix.
Oh my God.
And then there was my friend Jason, who was like, you know, was a 26-year-old like fashion stylist. So.
And then you're sleeping on the couch?
On the floor, actually.
On the floor?
Yeah, on an air mattress on the floor.
And were you paying rent?
No, he didn't charge me. So.
Had you seen it before you moved in?
Yeah, I'd stayed there before, so I knew what I was getting myself into.
And you still did it anyway?
Well, and the funny thing was, I was there for 3 weeks, and these people thought I was just vacationing. They didn't think... I would wake up every morning and put on a suit, and they thought, oh, enjoy New York City. You'll have so much fun. And it was, like, the middle of, like, September, and the suit, it was still, like, hot outside and gross, and they just thought I was, you know, there to, like, go see the Statue of Liberty or some shit. Like, they didn't know.
And every day you put on a suit.
I had a briefcase. Yeah, like, just went out there, so...
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I lived there for 3 weeks, and then I found my first apartment.
Which
this is a very interesting story, actually. I answered an ad on Craigslist. There were two guys.
No, I'm not talking about your dating life.
either way. I had a lot of sex in the apartment either way. So, my first apartment was, I found off Craigslist, and it was two guys that were, you know, had an extra room. One of them was gay, one of them was straight. And I went and interviewed with them. And first of all, before I found this one, I answered an ad for a guy who had an apartment on the Upper West Side. And he said, hey, you know, it was like $800 a month. It was a two bedroom. You know, you could have one room. The only caveat was that he hosts weekly sex parties. So I have to be okay with that. And he says, hey, feel free to join if you're hot. That's what he said.
This was on the ad?
Yeah. So this wasn't the one that I took, but this is the one I thought about at first. And then I was like, no, I don't have the self-esteem to live there. So so I opted out of that one. But the one I ended up moving into was this one in Chelsea. It was a three-bedroom with these two guys, one gay, one straight. And it turns out, like, it actually worked out really well. It turns out one of the guys that I lived with, we were in the same fraternity in college. Both ended up being gay, which like 90% of my fraternity brothers ended up doing anyway. And we had actually...
That's very rare, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, not really.
Well, no, they're all gay. They just don't come out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're like Republicans, so it works that way. You know, you only have sex like in the bathrooms or or airports. So we ended up like becoming like really good friends, and we knew each other before. We had like mutual friends from like, because he went to USC, I went to college in Las Vegas, so we were kind of close to each other, and so we ended up having this this random connection, and you know, and it was a lot of fun living with them until I fell in love with him, and that was just kind of a nightmare. So
that's always bad.
Yeah, but we're actually still good friends, and you know, we talk today. So, and he actually is one of the inventors of Grindr. So
no way.
Yeah. So I lived with.
And what is Grindr for the innocent people in the Midwest listening to this?
Grindr is an application where gay men could go on their phone and have sex in about 5 minutes flat. So, you know,
you can basically see who's within 3 feet of you who's also on this.
Yeah. App. I mean, you could sometimes you find out they're negative six inches and already inside you. So, you know, that's typically how that works.
Oh, my God. I'm not surprised your roommate invented Grindr.
Yeah, you know.
He probably did it remembering how hard it was for you to find people next to you to have sex with.
Yeah, I mean, of course I was in love with somebody who invented something like that. So.
Yeah, of course.
Who's
loved it, isn't capable of love.
Oh, God. I used to do the craziest things, though. Like, when living with a roommate and when you, like, are obsessed with them or, like, have a crush on them.
Yeah, what would you do?
He would date somebody and the guy would come stay over and had a toothbrush, and I would throw his toothbrush in the toilet.
You would? You were not young enough to get away with this.
No.
I mean, 26, 27, you should know right from wrong.
No, I'm horrible. Instead, I probably gave some some poor man friggin' hepatitis from my toilet. So, I mean, granted, I didn't, like, put anything in the toilet. I just, like, tossed it in there and put it back, so.
So how long did you live with this Grindr Romeo guy?
I lived with him for about a year and a half, and then he moved. And then we had just kind of an assortment of people moving in and out. I lived with a girl who moved in, who was here temporarily because she was promoting the Republic or doing publicity for the Republican National Convention.
In 2004.
Yeah, when it was here. So that was an interesting experience. Living with her, and then a couple of actors, and
in the same apartment.
In the same apartment.
This is so. Chelsea.
This was in Chelsea, actually. Okay. It was right above this place called the Big Cup, which was
I know that place.
Yeah, it was a gay coffee shop. Yeah, where, like, yeah. All the, we used to go down there to pick up 18-year-olds when we were. At least I hope they were 18. So,
In your first year or two, were you just like, I'm here forever? Were you homesick? Did you think it was, like, what was surprise? Did anything surprise you?
I was surprised at how easy it was for me at first. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Because people move to New York and have these horror stories. I actually had it really good. Uh-huh. You know, I moved here, I found a friend group. I found, like, all these things. But then I actually, about 2 years into being here, I lost my job. And then I actually moved back to Las Vegas.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay, so you did the go back and come back
right
thing.
And I came back two months later. I moved across country and came back
so
2 months later.
So you didn't really move. You just went somewhere for 2 months.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I, like, liquidated
my
life
here.
No, I, like, liquidated. I got rid of my apartment, got rid of my furniture. You know, I had, like, a fucking nervous breakdown. And I was like, I lost my job. There's no way I'm going to find a new job, blah, blah, blah. Huh. Went home and, like, cried for about 2 months straight.
Why did you think you cry a lot?
I do.
Stage four clinger? No, stage four crier is what you are.
Yeah. It's kind of my thing.
Why did you think you would never find another job? Where'd that come from? Is that an insecurity issue?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, because you found the first job. Why wouldn't you find another job?
I'm absolutely insane.
You're really good
I don't
at
know my
job.
Father. I think that's why. I blame it entirely on that.
So you cried for 2 months at who? Your Bob's house?
My grandparents.
Oh, that's really sad.
I know, right? Like, I would go play bingo with my grandma. That was a pick-me-up.
And cry? Did she see you crying?
A couple of times, yeah. And she would make me a cup of tea and feel better.
What did she say again about the AIDS thing or the gay thing?
Oh, when I came out of the closet, my grandma made me a patch for the AIDS quilt. She thought that's
like,
what,
as a nice thing.
Well, yeah, but she didn't think it was the AIDS quilt. You know, she thought it was the gay quilt. Yeah, so she thought she was doing me a favor. Like, she's like, oh, here, I'm so proud of you. Here's the, I'm like, well, I don't have AIDS.
You're crying in Vegas. That should be the name of your special, by the way. for 2 months. And then how do you get back? Why do you come back?
I got a job.
You're really good at getting jobs when you're not in the city.
I'm good at getting all kinds of jobs for blowjobs these days. So that's the only kind. But no, like, it. Yeah, I know. I just didn't have any confidence. That's kind of, I don't have any self-confidence.
Do you have any now?
No, not really. That's why I became a stand-up comedian.
But you get in front of a crowd every night. But you have confidence because I've heard you, like, really mean to the airport people. when they wouldn't let us get on a plane.
Well, they had it coming, those airport
people.
Yeah,
they did. Where was it? D.C. or something?
Yeah, we were on a flight with Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yeah, we were?
Yeah, we had spent $800 to go to a comedy conference where the grand prize was $300.
So. And then we got eliminated in the first round and did 5 minutes. And we're never... I don't know about you. I was never asked back to, like, actually work at that club. Were
I don't
you?
Even, no. No, not at all.
And then we were like, so that was Indiana. And then we had bought tickets that left us. So basically we landed there on a Thursday, had our show Thursday night. And then we were like, we just bought tickets to return Sunday. What are we going to do for another 3 nights? So we changed our tickets to go back the next morning, right?
Yeah.
Not knowing... Or forgetting that Chicago was like an hour and a half away drive. And we could have, like, totally had a weekend in Chicago. So we spent like $100 to change our tickets.
Well, let's not forget the small detail of you almost killing me.
Oh, yeah.
I almost killed both of us.
Yeah.
Well, here's the situation, too. Like, I was supposed to drive, but I lost my wallet.
Yes, yes.
I think it was Halloween the night before, and I got drunk and lost my wallet.
Yeah,
which kind of happens every Halloween, I'm not going
to
lie.
That's what happens to people with low self-confidence who don't get blowjobs, Mark.
Exactly.
You get your wallet stolen.
So people, audience, if you're out there, just blow me. It'll help my memory. So... No, I lost my wallet and I was supposed to drive. So you had to drive. And I don't think you brought your glasses with you.
No, I didn't bring my glasses because I forgot about having to drive. So I had no glasses. You're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm driving at night and I drive like the wrong way down the highway.
Yeah, you turn left on a one-way street.
It was a construction zone though.
Well, yeah, but there are also cars coming at you. I'm glad you saw the bulldozer, just not the car driving head on to you.
And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going the wrong way. Then I just backed up and it didn't kill us. But anyway, where was Al Sharpton? I don't remember.
He was on the plane sitting in front of us. Or maybe I didn't mention it. Oh, I don't think we were sitting next to each other on the plane because they we got it last minute. We couldn't get two seats together.
Oh, okay. And this was on the way back?
Yeah, and I was very nasty to that flight stewardess.
Stewardess, bitch. Okay, so how did you get your job when you came back? Coming back is hard, or for you, maybe not.
Yeah,
I always found it's hard to readjust for me.
You know what? When I came back is when I realized like how much because I thought about not accepting the job and just staying out there. Mm-hmm. But then this is all before I started doing comedy, by the way. Right. So
was this a job in a bank?
It was a job in a bank.
Okay. Had you had a relationship in New York yet, like for 2 years?
Not a consistent one.
Consistent, like a one night one.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks, yeah. Okay.
So, but
did you move here? Were you out when you moved here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually had a relationship once that, like, we met, like, on a Friday night, and on Saturday, like, we spent, like, the whole weekend together. Well, on Saturday, I took him to see Wicked, and he broke up with me after I took him to Wicked that
night. No way.
So I guess the whole...
I guess he didn't like the play.
I know, right? Fuck you, Stephen Schwartz. Yeah. You killed my sex life. When I moved back here is when I was like, this, I'm never leaving again. Like,
really?
This is, unless, you know, unless I have something that, like, takes me somewhere else, but this is where I like to be.
And this whole time, like, when I've left... The first, like, few months, I cannot picture coming back. I'm like, as soon as I'm pulled out, I'm like, how do I sustain my level of energy and what I do there? Because as soon as I go to another city, I do, like, 1/5 of what I do here.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for me to visualize myself back in these streets.
It's, when I think about, like, people ask, how is it like living in New York? I'm like, yeah, it's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, the things that you have to want something bigger than what, than just being here.
Yeah.
To want it. Like, you have to want whatever, maybe your career, your, you know, whatever, your aspirations, whatever it may be, other than just being here. Because think about the bullshit that we put up with. Like, we have hurricanes, blackouts, planes slamming into buildings.
Bed bugs.
I don't have those. homeless people, you know, like, on your front porch. Like, all these, like, this bullshit, you know.
Not to mention the noise. I mean, I don't know what subway station you take, but I end up having to take 42nd Street and NRQ every morning.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's like, it actually gives me major anxiety. And I get a little dizzy and claustrophobic on the subway every morning.
Yeah, like, I woke up when for a while I was living in Harlem, and I would wake up in the morning and there would be chicken bones on my front porch.
Chicken bones,
not saying anything racial for Harlem, but like who lives like this? Yeah. Like all my friends in Las Vegas were like getting married, having kids, and like living in nice houses with pools, and I'm walking out and kicking chicken bones off my front porch. I mean,
they have like green grass and lawns.
Yeah,
and they have like the slow pace.
I guess like chicken bones on your front porch is like our version of desert landscaping.
I guess I go through moments like where I hate it here. And that moment happens every day. but then the problem is I don't know where else I'm going to live.
Yeah, I thought about Chicago. Yeah. But everybody there's like vanilla. And like,
by
vanilla,
there?
I mean white. Yeah, like I've gone there a bunch. I've gone there for shows. And I have some really good friends that live in Chicago. And I think I would like it for one reason, because I'm attracted to that type of guy that lives there.
Which is what?
Like, kind of just like that middle American kind of doe-eyed looking.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
it's weird. Is that your type?
Yeah, they gotta look dumb, I think, for some reason.
Because you're insecure?
Yeah.
And you want to impress them?
Well, that's like the same reason why I like to date disabled people. Like, it's kind of like... It's
you
like,
do?
I do. I have a fetish for like... I dated like three deaf guys. Yeah, this is a true story. I dated like... I'm not like giving you... This is... I dated like three deaf guys.
Oh, wait. Didn't during the hurricane you date a deaf guy who loved the sign language?
He's a sign language interpreter.
Oh, sign language.
I figure that's like having the best of both worlds. Like, he could talk sign language and he could fucking hear me. So it's great. But it was weird. We would like hook up and like... He would actually in his sleep... He would like sign... I'm like moving my hands around. But he would sign in his sleep when he would sleep talk. So it was really kind of weird.
So wait. Really?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear to God.
That's how he slept, sleep-talked?
Yeah, in sign language, so it was very strange. I mean, not all the time. Sometimes he would do it in his mouth.
Was sign language his first language?
Yeah.
So, what are your stories of dating people can't hear?
Out here?
Who can't hear.
Oh, who can hear? And well, he was marginally deaf in 1 year, and he was a dancer, which was very strange. And in one of the... He was in Lord of the Dance.
He was? Which is a knockoff. How did you meet people who are disabled? Like, do you go to special websites? No, I'm just wondering if you have a fetish for them.
No, I think they just, I'm always just attracted to them. Or like, they've always just are drawn to me. It's weird. That's like what I'm putting out in the universe that says, hey, you're hot and marginally capable. Come to me. Like,
I can't imagine, it'd be hard being disabled in this city.
Well, the first one in the city that I went out with, it wasn't a true disability, but he had like two missing fingers. And I didn't realize this until we were out on a date. And like, first of all, we went to Dallas Barbecue, which is a horrible place to go on a date. But we're 25. Like,
okay.
You know, it's what you do. And he was eating ribs, which is also equally not as a romantic of an item. And then he went to eat the rib and I noticed there was something missing. And he literally licked barbecue sauce up his nub. It was very strange.
Did he say anything about it?
No, I just, my eyes just kind of went really wide, and I looked, and I was like, whoa, okay. That is, okay, well, I don't know what to, what do you do? Like, I kind of wanted him to jerk me off just to see what it would look like. But
did he? No,
it didn't, but then I realized I was, like, way too into that. Oh, I dated a guy with an eye patch for a while.
God, Mark, like 2 dates. You could have a one-man show about all these men.
Right? Like,
eye patch, pirate.
My handicapped lover.
Yeah. So, no, seriously, do you go to special websites? How did you meet these people?
I don't know. Like, they're just always, like, somehow, like, I just, like, manifest them somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird.
Has anything ever really horrible happened to you here?
Like, as far as...
I don't know, burglary,
attempted
rape.
I've had people steal from me multiple times.
Like, but I'm not talking about your boyfriends who use
them. No. Well, these aren't boyfriends. I dated a homeless guy once. We just kind of kept going back to my place until I found out, like, I'm like, hey, where do you live? He's like, oh, kind of everywhere.
Literally on the earth?
I've hooked up with, like, 3 different guys that have all taken... I had my iPad stolen. I had an iPhone stolen. I had...
From guys you hooked up with?
Yes. I'm like... First of all, when I had my iPad stolen, I thought... I was, like, trying to justify this with my friend. I'm like, maybe it's God's way of saying I don't need the excess of an iPad. And he was like, actually, maybe it's God's way of saying don't be a dirty whore.
Yeah, exactly. And use better judgment.
Oh, my God. This makes me sound like a horrible person, but this is just my reality.
Did you ever hear from them again?
No.
I mean, did you try to hunt them down is what I'm saying?
I don't even. I probably couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
Okay. Then you really do deserve what you
got. I kind of do. No. I'm like, if I could find some way to write it off on my taxes, I would be like, you know. The whore tax. Just, you know, oh, part of the game. Here's right off that iPad. The worst was some guy took my cell phone, the charger. So, you know, he was thorough. My wallet.
Oh, he was thorough. He really looked around.
Yeah, and he took my copy of High School Musical that I got from Netflix. So.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Are you more appalled that
I
had that?
High School Musical. When was this? This is probably 6 months ago.
It was yesterday.
Was it because of Zac Efron?
Yeah.
Is Zac Efron gay?
If there's a God, yes. Okay. But I don't think so, actually.
I've heard.
Really?
Yeah.
There's, like, rumors about everybody. I mean,
yeah. Well, I always believe them because my theory is all men are gay.
Oh, I'm especially in New York. I'm like, you're gay until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. So
I'm like, oh, you're not gay?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
You know, you'd appreciate this. I learned a fun fact about New York City. So when it was, like, kind of discovered by Henry Hudson, it wasn't really truly, but he sailed in here, and that's when they kind of settled it. Beaver pelts were huge in Europe. And he noticed there was a surplus of beavers in New York City. And to this day, there's still a lot of beavers.
And that's how we got our lesbian population.
Yeah, no, but like so many women to this day who are unaccounted for. Surplus of beavers then, now, and forevermore.
God, Henry Hudson was so gay. You should have called him Rock Hudson.
He was, I know, exactly. So other than that, like theft, I mean, like have you, like for example, I had a fire in my building and I had, this was 2 years ago, actually exactly, and I had taken an Ambien, okay, and I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I'm woken up like, huge knock, 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 Mickey, the building's burning. And I'm, like, on Ambien escaping through the roof, okay, in a nightgown with no shoes. No shoes. The door is completely open.
I like that you're going to the roof during a fire.
We had to because the fire was downstairs. They made us go to the roof and through the other building and down. And I'm, like, faint. I feel dizzy. I had to lie down in the middle of the roof. I'm like, guys, I'm going to faint because my Ambien has just kicked in. Like, it's literally, like, at, like, peak... sleeping pill mode, and I'm like a walking zombie, like I'm basically sleepwalking, and we're all standing outside, and I had left my door open and my air conditioner on because like you're supposed to close your door in a fire, but you don't think in a fire. Like, I hate when people say like you're supposed to do this in an emergency because like you're really not thinking.
Oh, yeah.
So I came back in and it smelled like ash and smoke for like 6 weeks because I left my AC on and the fire was right under the AC.
Was it this builder?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the fire was right under the AC, and the AC was pulling in that air, the smoke.
Oh, my God.
And then I left the door open. So all the rest of the smoke that was coming through the thing, I mean, it literally, like, that kind of shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I washed everything, and then, like, my neighbor saw me, like, carrying the laundry back and forth for, like, 3 weeks, and she was like, oh, well, I don't have anything. I don't have a smell at all.
You're like, how the fire
gets... I've seen you really, like, neurotically washing your stuff. I'm like, come into my apartment and smell it, why don't you?
How did the fire get started?
Oh, how did the fire get started? Good question. Some asshole leaned a mattress against the ground floor apartment, okay, And then another asshole walked by, because we have a lot of bridge and tunnel shit at 2 in the morning here, because the 9th Avenue bars, it's not as bad as it used to be because there's not as many sports bars, but there's enough.
Now it's all just drunk homosexuals
walking by. It's just gay men, and they're neat. But some asshole walked by 2 in the morning screaming, threw a lit cigarette or a match, and it hit the mattress. The mattress caught on fire, made the air conditioner in that apartment explode, and then suddenly it just set on fire. The first floor set on fire. Like, the poor girl couldn't even live in her apartment for 2 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That kind of stuff has happened.
I haven't had anything dramatic like that. I think a bulk of my weird experiences has been living with people.
Yeah.
When I moved back to New York, I actually had moved out here, and a friend of mine from Las Vegas had moved out here. So I was living with her and this gay couple. So there was the four of us in this other apartment in Chelsea that was so freaking small. And there were four of us.
How small was it, Mark?
It was so small. No. There were four of us. And I didn't know the boyfriend had lived there at the same time. And the couple, or the main guy, who was also they were a gay couple, they wouldn't pay the rent. And we would get eviction notices every month. At some point, we were just laughing. Hey, Stacey, we got another one. Look at this. I didn't pay the rent this month.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible. But this was the weirdest. First of all, my roommate, Stacey, she was the most fun ever. She's a good friend of mine, and I've known her for years. But she was the worst drunk ever and would always lose her wallet and her keys. And this one time she had to crawl because I wasn't home. I think I was on a trip or something, and she had to crawl through the fire escape to get in the home. So she crawled up the fire escape and crawled through the window, and then realized she had crawled through the wrong floor and went into the wrong apartment.
No. And then what? Was there anyone home?
There wasn't anybody home there. So, but she just kind of walked out of the apartment and then went back upstairs. So it was really kind of horrible, but she would do shit like that all the time. But this other couple that we lived with, they were total crackheads. Mm-hmm. I would walk in on them just doing coke in the living room, on a Tuesday night. I'm like, hey, I'm going to watch I'm going to watch television right now. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to do some lines. I'm like, oh, live your life. Hey, but then one time I walked in and there was them two blowing lines on the table. And this woman just does a line and looks up. She's like, hi, I'm so-and-so's mother. I'm like, oh. And you're doing coke with your mother. So I was like, yeah, that to me was probably the more interesting experience.
That's definitely interesting, doing coke with somebody's mother.
I'm like, I drank a beer in front of my mother at my college graduation, and my mother got all bajiggity about it. I'm like, I just got a degree, Mom. I can have a fucking beer, okay?
But your mom's Mormon, right?
No. She was raised Mormon, but then not really.
She got weird about a beer?
Yeah.
But she's okay with you being gay?
Yeah, it's weird. I should have just sucked a dick right in front
of her. I know, I was just going to say.
I was still dating women, I think, at that time. Oh. Or, I was kind of skirting around the issue.
So, when you moved... So, the first 2 years, while you had your job, you were just living in happy...
Yeah.
There was no adjustment.
I had a ball. No, there was. I mean, I was fortunate.
You had many balls.
You had many balls. I did have a funny experience, though, that... I had a friend of mine come stay with me. It was there from went to London for a couple of weeks and then came back and passed through New York, and we had gone out. Well, I had brought somebody home then. All of my funny experiences end up with me bringing somebody home, which is really sad. I'm starting to take stock in my life right now. But I brought this guy home who was British. And or is British probably still, but and I thought his accent was cool, and I was like, oh, you're British, I love your accent, blah blah blah. And I bring him home. Well, my friend the night before had laid out on my bed a picture of Prince William and put my sweatshirt on there and my pants, so that Prince William was laying in my bed. Meanwhile, I had no idea that he had done that. So meanwhile, I'm talking to this British guy all night long, saying and talking about how much I like him, the fact that he's British and blah blah blah. And I bring him home, and he sees this on my bed. All of a sudden, thinks I have this British fetish, and then leaves.
No, wait, but your roommate knew you were on a date with a British
guy. No, he didn't. It just kind of worked out. It was a coincidence.
10 years here now. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself ever leaving? Well, not if you get my apartment.
Yeah. Which, I can't wait till I move into my apartment.
Yeah.
Our apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, actually. Not unless something takes me somewhere else, because I feel like I built a life for myself here. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to realize that.
Yeah. How long did it take? Because it took me a while, too. I think it took me about... 7-8 years.
I think it took me six. Mm-hmm. Until when I started doing stand-up, I think, is, or a year into me doing it is
when did
I
you start
In 2008. Okay. So 5 years.
Did you take Andy's class?
I did.
Okay.
I took three comedy classes. I'm so
with who?
Well educated in comedy. I took with the first one I took actually was with I think I've taken four actually. Mm-hmm. Was with Jim Mendrinos at Gotham Comedy Club. And then I took Corey Kahaney and Andy Angle's class. Mm-hmm. And then I took one with Jessica Kirsten. And that was the way how I started to get to know people and stuff. Now, I'm glad I did it. It was a lot of money. But I think fundamentally, I got to learn what I need to learn, and by the last one, I figured like, okay, I don't need, I can do this like, but through experience now.
So someone so insecure like you, who would not even think he could get an interview after he lost his job, and you moved back and cried for 2 months. What made you start stand up comedy?
I mean, look at all the stuff that I did before. Of course, I wanted to talk about. I mean, I had a lot of material to do. I actually did it on a dare. Because I was one of my very good friends who she's an actor. She's in a few Broadway shows, and she was doing improv at the time. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did improv before I did this. It was horrible. I was terrible.
I was bad at improv.
I was so bad.
I threw out really random stuff. You're not supposed to do that.
I hated that. I hated people who did that. Improv people were like always like, oh, let me be so weird. That's funny. Yeah. Like, no, it's not. You're fucking weird. It's not funny.
I wasn't finding it funny. I couldn't do it. Yeah. It was hard to yes and.
It was, and people would do that. Like, I'd be on stage and I would like start doing a scene and some guy would come up and do something random and stupid. So inevitably, if I wanted to get out of a scene, I would shoot myself in the middle of a scene and just lie there dead.
By the way, for the people who don't know what improv is, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't leave a scene.
Improv is supposed to be where you agree with everything. Yeah, yeah. And I'm a stand-up. I disagree with everything. That's by virtue. Like, we're the complete opposite. Like, they're yes and, we're no but. You know? Like, just that's kind of how I roll in that. And I didn't like being reliant on other people. That was kind of annoying.
Were you nervous for your first show?
Oh, I was totally. For my where first was it? Improv Caroline's or stand-up?
Gotham. Stand-up.
Oh, petrified. Gotham. That was my first time. Actually, my first time ever going on a stage and doing stand-up. I did an open mic at Maui Taco
Show. Me too. That was my first time ever on stage. July 3rd, 2007.
I don't even remember the exact date. My first time at an actual comedy club, I think, it was Gotham. It was in July of 2008.
Okay. See? There you go. Yeah. A year. So, I feel like starting stand-up, even though I pretty much, it makes me miserable 80% of the time. I feel like it put sort of a new air into my tires in New York. Like, I found this whole new community, and that it didn't save me, but I feel like it saved me here. Like, I probably might not still live here if I hadn't started.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't. I started doing it like right when I had this like mass exodus of my friends leaving to go to like Los Angeles or go back to Las Vegas or whatever. Mm-hmm. So right around that time is when I was completely miserable, but I had just started doing stand up. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I can make friends somehow doing this. And you know, it took me about a year before I started feeling comfortable and like making friends and whatnot. Like, I would be the guy that would go to like open mics and sit in the back of the room, or like do my set and then sit in the back room and laugh at everybody, but then nobody would talk to me. Like, I'd be sitting down at Ochi's and be like, be my friend, hi, I'm funny, like kind of like that. And then, you know, nobody was really interested in laughing at me, and I didn't know any of like the other gay comics at the time. So I was, you know, I didn't fit in with the straight comics. I didn't fit in with the gay comics. The only comics I fit in with the women comics.
Women, yeah.
Exactly. And then through them, I started making more friends. And now, a couple of years later, it started feeling like I'm a part of something.
Yeah.
Which is a bigger thing for me. And I really enjoy it. Like, I was scared to death to do it, but it's kind of,
I enjoy being on stage.
Yeah.
I really enjoy being on stage. I kind of drag my feet when it's time to go to a show, though. Like, when I'm getting there. But then when I'm there and I'm on stage and I'm doing well, there's like, it's a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, there are times where I wanted to fucking murder myself after a show, but
Weekend for me, but that's okay.
And
tonight, later.
I mean, last week I did a show in the back of a nail salon in front of 4 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, why? This is my dream. This is what I want to do. I'm like, I could smell the woman getting a manicure right now. Like, this is so sad. I'm like, all I could think about was how I want to cut my cuticles, too, my throat. Like, it's just sad.
Is there anywhere in the city that you've wanted to go but haven't been yet?
To visit?
Yeah, like anywhere in the city or anything you've wanted to do. Like, I've never been to Randall's Island. I've never been to City Island.
I don't even know what Randall Island
is. I don't either, but I'm just throwing
out. I've never been to the Hamptons, actually, and I want to go there.
I've never been in the summer. I've been once in the winter or twice.
But I almost think I'm like too trashy to go there.
Me too. I think you're too trashy.
I'm more of like a Fire Island kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I go there.
You definitely are more of a Fire Island.
Yeah. I mean, I break my foot at a Liza Minnelli concert and call it a day. That's how
Liza over here. Ow!
That has been one of my most favorite celebrity sightings ever, seeing Liza Minnelli on Fire Island.
And coincidentally, you broke your foot.
I broke my foot because there was a gay stampede trying to get to Liza Minnelli. So
you were part of a gay stampede.
I was part of a gay stampede.
Well, Mark, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
It seems like you love New York and you're happy and thriving.
I do. This city's a cunt, but I love it. So it's like my mother. I can't get rid of it.
All right, Mark. Have a good day.